Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for who you are and for all that you are. As we continue, O God, to discover, O God, the wonders of who you are and all that you are, we thank you that you are our Maker, Lord. You are Yahweh Hoshenu, Father, the Lord God, O God, who fashions and forms us, who perfects us and completes us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, so that we may become the holy vessels that you have ordained us to be, Father, that we may become sons of the living God. We are your workmanship, Father, created in Christ Jesus for the good works you have ordained in our lives. And we are grateful that you have purposed to work in us a new creation, that you have purposed, O God, to work in us, O God, your holy word, that you have chosen to work into us, O God, realities fashioned and formed in the spirit and life of Jesus, realities established in the faith of the Lord Jesus, realities, O God, unveiled in fulfillment in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, realities in conformance to the character and nature of Jesus Christ, realities fashioned and formed out of his witness and his testimony. We are blessed to be able, O God, to receive and realize the ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that we may unveil in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ as sons of the living God, a royal priesthood, a chosen people. We thank you that your word is meant to be performed in our lives and through our lives, that you are indeed making us, you are indeed perfecting us and completing us, O God, in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for being our Maker. We thank you for persevering with us. We thank you for the kind intentions of your will. We thank you, O God, that you have purposed to unveil us as a living and growing blessing in all eternity, Father. That you mean to use us, O God, to bless the nations, O God, in all eternity, Father. We thank you for the destiny you have given us in the merits of the Lamb. We thank you for the destiny that you have purposed for us, O God, in the kind intentions, O God, of your holy will. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you worship. We give you praise. We are grateful, Father, for all that your Spirit is working in us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Blessed are you, O God, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I was going through a study Bible, I found there was a particular name of God that I had not known before. And this name of God is Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who is our Maker. And we find this reality of the Lord God, our Maker, as being something of a theme that you see right through the Scriptures. God has purposed to make us. God has purposed to make us in the image and fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the psalmist in Psalm 95, verse 6, come to a point of worship as he acknowledges Yahweh as his Maker, as being our Maker. So if you turn with me to Psalm 95, verse 6, it reads, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, Yahweh Hoshenu. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The Lord our Maker. And the Lord our Maker is the one who has chosen to work in us his salvation, to work in us his purposes, to work in us what he has ordained for our lives from the foundations of the world. I just want to look at some of the thoughts that are tied to this idea of God being our Maker. Right? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. Colossians chapter 2, verse
10. For in him you have been made complete. In him meaning in Christ Jesus. You have been made complete. So God wants to make us complete, and he makes us complete in Jesus Christ. And this is a reality of Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who makes us. All right? The Lord God who makes us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we look at God as our creator, as the God who created us, created the creation out of nothing, we are looking at a particular name of God that is called Yahweh Elohim. And if you read Genesis chapter 2, as God created the heavens and the earth, as he created man, this is the name that is used for the creator God. But now we are looking at God as the maker. And what this means is that God is perfecting and completing us in accordance with everything that he has unveiled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true man, and God our maker is working us into his image and in his fullness. And he is called our maker because he is perfecting us and completing us according to a plan that he has unveiled in Jesus Christ. So we just read two verses that talk about us being God's workmanship. The idea of God being our maker is the fact that God is working with us. He's working with us in our situations and circumstances. He's working with us in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. He's working with us in our conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. He's working with us in our heart and our mind. He's working to bring forth each one of us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, according to what he has purposed that each one of us will be in eternity. And this process of making us is a very painstaking and a very exact process. It's a process in which God gives us many different pictures in the scriptures that he is doing a work inside of us. And it's an important work. It is a work that will enable us to become all that God wants us to be. So right off the start, we understand that as our maker, God is expressing each one of us as his workmanship. And we are being created in Christ Jesus. And it's a process in which God is perfecting us and completing us in all that he has opened to us in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. So he means to perfect and complete us so that the works that flow out of our lives will be good works. Good works, works that will be, that will bear testimony to the goodness of God. The God who has made us in his goodness, in his faithfulness. The God who has made us in his righteousness. The God who has made us in his painstaking love for each one of us. The God who has made us, given us an ability to think, to understand, to know, to discern, to feel. The Lord who has made us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, the Lord who is our maker. So Colossians 2:10 tells us in one line, in him you are made complete. So Yahweh Hoshenu works according to what God has unveiled in Jesus Christ in each one of us. God is working in us, right? And that work is an awesome work. And that awesome work, God is painstakingly working to bring forth by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And it's the work of Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who has chosen each one of us to be sons of God. And in calling us forth as sons of God, God is in the process of working into us his salvation. God is in the process of working in us a clean heart, a pure heart. Something that David cried out for in Psalm 51 after he had sinned. He asked God to create in him a clean heart,
to create in him a pure heart. And God the Maker is in Christ Jesus doing exactly that. That salvation is a process in which God is saving us through a process of making us become a new creation. All right? A new creation. But this new creation is being fashioned out of something that is old. That out of the fallen man, God is bringing forth something that is brand new. By introducing the seed of Christ into our hearts, God has begun a process of working into us the fullness of Jesus Christ. And it's not an easy process, it is a painstaking process. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, why is he the apostle and high priest of our confession? Because God is in the process of trying to make us come forth as a people who will speak the right words, the words that God has ordained for each one of us to bring forth through our lives. The words that will be an expression of God's word uniquely fashioned through each one of us. Because you will know from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, that Moses announces that the word of God is in our mouth and in our heart. And so God is working in us this reality of bringing forth the word through each one of our lives, so that that word of God will come through each one of us in accordance to how God has called us and how God has chosen to bring forth our lives in all eternity. And God has chosen us not to be in the image of each other, but to be in the image of Jesus Christ and to come forth uniquely in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. You know Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah sees a vision and God asks him, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" He says, "I see the rod of an almond tree." And God tells Jeremiah, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." And Yahweh Hoshenu is the Lord who is performing the word in our lives. For God is very painstakingly attempting to perfect us and to complete us. If you look at the Jewish calendar, you will find that the Jewish calendar is structured in cycles of seven. Seven represents perfection. It also represents the process of being perfected. You will also, if you go through the details of the Jewish feasts, you will realize that there are a whole bunch of things that are done in measures of 10. One measure of 10, two measures of 10, three measures of 10 of an ephah of flour, representing that God intends to complete us into something that he has purposed in our life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So this work of Yahweh Hoshenu is a work that is manifested out of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Of his fullness we have all received, John 1:16. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That process of realization is a process of God making us, of God fashioning us, of God forming us in substance, the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So as God has the intent of making us, we necessarily have to respond to the fact that he is our maker. We must understand that we do not just simply go through things in a random fashion. We do not go through situations and circumstances in a random fashion. God is in the process of working into us his plans and his purposes. Those plans and purposes involve processes of correction, processes of molding us, processes of shaping us, because in shaping and fashioning and forming us, one of the key things that God is concerned with is the process of thought that is within us, the reality of our nature and our character, the reality of our free will, the reality of the desires within us. And God is in the process, by working the word inside of us, he's in the process of transforming us and changing us and causing us to become what he wants us to become. You see, in the when you begin to have some idea of what God is doing inside of you, you realize that each one of us are being fearfully and wonderfully fashioned and formed. And that is an awesome thing, because God is doing a painstaking work within us. It is not just a proclamation like, let there be light, and there was light. When God starts working with us, He's working the nitty-gritty details. He's shaping every little thing within you and me. He's shaping our conscience. He's shaping our thought processes. He's shaping our minds. He's shaping our personalities. He's shaping our character and our nature. He's shaping the way in which, you know, we are going to be able to stand in Him, the way in which we are going to be able to relate to Him, the way in which we are going to perceive Him, understand Him, know Him, see Him, relate to Him. It's a humongous creative process. If you understand how complex the human body is in the natural sciences, you begin to understand that this work of God our Maker is a very precise and a very complex work that He's attempting to bring forth in spirit, in soul, and in body. He's bringing into us the life of Jesus. He's bringing into us the character and nature of Jesus. He's bringing into us the faith and love of Jesus. He's bringing into us the witness and testimony of Jesus. And He's causing the change within us so that we will receive, realize that fullness of Jesus Christ, so that we become all that we can never become in ourselves. And so you see, when you know, you see the context in which this name Yahweh Hoshenu is mentioned. That's the only verse it is really mentioned like that. Yahweh our Maker, right? Yahweh Hoshenu, right? That's the only verse. And you see, it's given in the context of worship. The psalmist is worshiping God for what He has made. And you and I will come to worship God one day in accordance with our realization of what God has made us become. And it's very important to understand this, that in every area of your life, God is in the process of making you. That one day when you stand in the glory of Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, you will be a product that has been entirely made by God. You are a product that God has fashioned out of the kind intentions of His will. You are a product that will be able to stand in the counsel of God's will, opened in your life through the spirit and life of Jesus, through the faith and love of Jesus, through the character and nature of Jesus. God has worked into you and me a painstaking process. A process in which we become sons of God. A process in which we become a priesthood. A process in which our body becomes the temple of God, where He can fill us with all of His fullness. We have done in this series on the names of God the reality that God's ultimate intent with each one of us is to fill us with all the fullness of God. And that is a realization of God's love. Right? You know that. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, 19. Right? That ultimately God wants to fill us with all of His fullness. And you realize that that reality is birthed out of the love of God for us. So God saves us and God makes us so that He will indeed be able to fill us, so that we will be able to function in His pure and perfect presence. We will be able to function in the pure and perfect realities of who He is. If you look at the fall of Lucifer, you will find that one of the judgments of God against him was that he defile the sanctuaries that God opened to him. Sanctuaries of God's name that were opened to him. Now, God is building each one of us through Jesus Christ so that we will be able to stand in the sanctuaries of God's name one day and be able to function in the sanctuaries of God's name continually through the love that we have realized from Him. So this name, Yahweh Hoshenu, is the name by which we actually come to actualize the reality of God's love. And you can't cook it up. You can't just believe it is there. It has to become fact. It has to become fact, and it's a fact defined out of what God has accomplished with you and me. That when you understand what God has done with you, and you understand how He has changed you, when you understand how He has brought inside of you a new thinking process, when you understand that He has done the impossible by transforming your nature, transforming your character, transforming your personality, transforming the way you think, the way you act, the way you do anything and everything, you will begin to understand what an awesome reality it is. That God has accomplished this with you and me, taking us who are doomed to death and destruction and making us sons of God, making us an eternal blessing, making us stand in the heavenly places, making us stand in unique positions in the mount of the Lord. Each one of us tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God. Each one of us unveiled under the shadow of the Almighty. So He has made us rise into that position. So it is an awesome reality that you need to understand that we are the product of God's grace. He has done a work in us. He has done a work within us, right? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Now all this that God is doing exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that He has made to work inside of us, all that is a description of Yahweh Hosheno, the Lord God who is making you into something that is beyond anything that you have in yourself. He's fashioning and forming you according to a power that He defined in Himself through the cross. And He means to transform you and change you. He means to give you the mind of Christ. He means to unveil a living witness that will enable you to stand before God, have a unique position before God. And that unique position before God that comes into you through the witness that God is fashioning inside of you is part and parcel of God's painstaking work in your life. He has made you come to stand in that position. Yahweh Hosheno, the Lord God who is our maker. Never forget that He is making you. Because if you forget that He is making you, then you will take Him for granted. So this is a very crucial name, because last week when we concluded on the name Yahweh Shammah, we thought God is there and that's the end of things. No, God is there and He has made us become something because He is there. He has made us become something because He has provided for us. He has made us become something because He has opened us to the reality of the Most High God. He has made us become something because we are partakers of all that the Almighty God is able to bring in our lives. He's our maker. In healing us, He's making us into something new. In delivering us, He's making us into something new. In saving us, He's making us into something new. In leading us as the shepherd, He is taking us into a position and bringing us into perceptions of life that we have never even understood existed. As Yahweh Nisi, as the Lord who is the banner over us, as the Lord who covers us, He is covering us with His glory so that we will rise and become a new creation in the glory of His grace. That we will be able to function in that glory and be able to express that glory through the unique personality, character and nature that God has worked into us through Jesus Christ. In a unique relationship that He is developing in each one of us. And each one of us will be a unique expression of the handiwork of Yahweh Hosheno. That in dealing with us, God didn't just simply speak and it came forth. In dealing with us, God is painstakingly working us into something. And all of us are different people. We have different personalities, we have different characters, we have different natures. But in Jesus Christ, God is making us into unique vessels who will shine with the glory of His power, the glory of His love, the glory of His character. It is an awesome reality to understand that God is at work. God is at work. So, as God brings into us the anointings, as God brings into us the giftings, all of it is part of our work that He is accomplishing within us. If God is at work in you as Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who is your maker, then you need to understand that there is no reason to try and hurry and run around and be worked up about seeming setbacks in our life, because nothing happens in our life by random. Nothing happens in our life by chance. God is at work. That He is doing something in your life far beyond what you are able to conceive. So it's very important that you understand that God is your maker. That no matter from where we have come from, no matter from what humble backgrounds we have come from, God is at work, and He is at work to make us into sons of God. He is at work to make us into a royal priesthood. He is at work to make us into a bride for the Lamb. He is at work in His righteousness. He is at work in His peace. He is at work as a healer. He is at work in us as a deliverer. He is at work in us as our provider. He is at work in us as the Almighty God. He is at work in us as the Most High God. And Yahweh Hoshenu is really bringing us into positions that we would never have attained in and of ourselves. So never really feel that, you know, what's my life amount to? God is at work. Sometimes we are in a state of confusion. Yet in that state of confusion, you must understand God is at work. He's clarifying my thoughts, and He's beginning a work in my life so that I will learn how to think straight, so that my life will be moved out of the confusion of being in a depressed state into the light of His glory, so that you can become what God wants you to become. God is at work, and He's at work in a very wonderful and awesome way. Praise the Lord for that. Let's look at another aspect of God at work in us, okay? You know, the whole Bible talks about God our Maker, by the way. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets, God is at work. He's going to bring the fulfillment of the law and the prophets into our being. So that in the fulfillment of the law, we will not become a lawless people. So, what is the fulfillment of the law? God working into us the nature and character of Jesus Christ, so that we will be a people who will come to love God and be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. That we will be a people who will be able to do all things for the glory of God. So that is an aspect of God our Maker. What about the fulfillment of the prophets? The prophets speak of all of the blessings and the promises that God has for us. Such a complex and vast reality of promises and blessings that God has written in His Word. And He is in the process of working those promises into our life. Working those giftings into our life. Working us into a position that we will be able to realize the gifting, so that we will be able to use those giftings as a blessing and not as a curse as Lucifer did. That we will realize the anointings, that He will perfect the anointings into us, that the anointings will become like a fatness that covers our inward parts, so that we will be able to stand in that anointing and function in that anointing the right way and not fall from the high position that God has called us to stand in. So God is at work. He's at work to change us. And so often we resist change. This is how I want to live, and that's how I want to live. You can't think like that if you are alive to Yahweh Hoshenu. Because everything that you and I are is going to change. There's nothing that you and I are doing today that is going to remain in 100 years' time. So you better be prepared for change. Because if you're not prepared for change, then God will take you through circumstances that will break all the pride and all the arrogance and all the rebellion and all the unwillingness to submit to the hand of your Maker. Because God has chosen to make you into something. So often we resist that change. We resist God who is at work in us. We want God to do things our way. And so much of our heartaches involves the fact that we insist that God should bring into our lives what we think He should bring. But if you appreciate that God is your maker, that He is making you in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, He is making you so that you can become a partaker of the Holy Spirit, then you must understand that God is going to deal with your character. God is going to deal with your stubbornness. God is going to deal with all of the hardness inside of you. He's going to deal with the pride. He's going to deal with the rebellion. He's going to deal with the bitterness. He's going to deal with the hurts. He's going to deal, right, with the selfishness and the self-centeredness. He's going to deal with all of those things. Nobody is going to be exempt from it. So the smart thing to do is to flow by the Spirit into what God has got for you, because He's going to change you. He's going to take you into things that you do not understand and comprehend. He's going to take you into things that you don't understand and comprehend. He's going to take you into situations and circumstances where you are going to have to learn how to depend on Him. Why is that so? Because God, your Maker, is not making you in your image and my image. He's making you in the image of Jesus Christ. He's making you in the fullness of Jesus Christ so that you can assume that position that God originally intended, that man should be made in the image of God. Let us make man in our image, so that man will function, right, with our character and our nature. That man will function, right, in and by and through God. So that man will function in the purposes of God. So salvation is designed to work this work of God in our lives. And so there are so many facets of this creative work that God wants to accomplish in you and me. And it's a work that God is going to do. He's continuously at work in doing that. So let God work. And God will bring forth in you the seeing eye and the hearing ear. He will bring forth in you the ability to discern from your inward parts. He will bring forth in you the ability to function in the anointings that He has given you. Right? He will enable you to function in the giftings that He has for you. He's going to teach you. He's going to fashion you. He's going to mold you. He's going to form you. He's going to make you. It's a process of being perfected. Very important word, perfected. Right? Because God is not making you into a doll or something like that. He's perfecting you in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, so that you will be in that image and fullness of Jesus Christ in a unique personality and character that will be able to stand in the position that God wants you to stand in. Isn't that awesome? So when we read the Word of God, we must understand that God is at work through that Word. It is not something that is written in the book so that you can have some intellectual knowledge. That when you read the Word of God, God wants to take that Word and He wants to fashion you through that Word. So God the Maker works in you through the Word by the Spirit. And the Word is defined very carefully in the testimony of Jesus. When God makes you, He's going to use the testimony of Jesus to expound the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is going to work that Word of God into your being. He's going to work it into your mind. He's going to work it into your heart. He's going to work it into your character. He's going to work it into your nature. He's going to work it into your free will. He's going to work it into every aspect of your being, so that you will live, move, and have your being in God. And when you can live, move, and have your being in God, you're free. So when you read when you read the epistles, for instance, you will find Peter and Paul refer to themselves as bondservants of the Lord. Why are they bondservants? What is it that implied by being bondservants? They have surrendered themselves to what God has purposed in their lives. They're fully compliant with God's purposes in their lives. They're no longer looking for what they want. They're looking for what God wants with them. If you understand Yahweh Hoshenu, then you will desire what God wants for your life rather than what you want for your life. You can only do that if the Lord your Maker gives you a revelation of His love. And you are able to trust him, and you are able to say, Lord, whatever you have desired for my life, I'm here. Do with me what you want. Let it be unto me as you will. Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who is your maker. In that process of making you and me is when you and I will come alive to the intimacy of knowing God and loving God. If you don't understand Yahweh Hoshenu and the painstaking process in which he is fashioning you and forming you, the painstaking process in which he is patient with you, forgiving you, and working with all of the peculiarities of your nature and your character, you will never come to understand the love of God. It's not easy working with us, you know. And for God, who is almighty and all sufficient, who can just speak things into being, to really work with us with patience, that is amazing. So you find in this psalm that even as God announces himself as the maker, you find that one of the things he did with the children of Israel was that he told them, you have not allowed me to do my work with you. You have not listened to what I wanted to do with you. You did not trust me. Even though I worked miracles right before your eyes, you did not trust me. You did not heed my voice. You did not come into my rest. Yahweh Mukadesh is the Lord God who is our sanctifier, right? We did that. And in sanctifying us, God brings us into a rest. Why does he bring us into that rest? So that he can do the work that he wants to bring forth in our lives. A person who is able to rest in God is a person who trusts God and trusts the work of God in his life. Yeah? So as you choose to serve God, as you choose to live before God, as you choose to walk before God so that you will be holy and blameless, you must understand that God is going to work in you new things. Work in you new things. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Behold, new things have come. God is doing a new work. God is doing a new work, and you need to understand that all of the old things are passed away. So if you keep on holding back to what I want and what I saw and what my parents taught me and what my culture teaches me and what my denomination teaches me, you're standing in the way of what God wants to bring forth in your life. And if you do that, you're going to find that God is going to break all of that rebellion. It's not going to be a comfortable process, because he will deal with your rebellion. Because he loves you. So salvation is not just a comfortable process of being saved and sitting on clouds one day and playing harps. The process of salvation is going to be a process in which God is going to mold you and shape you so that you will stand and be a blessing to the universe that he has created you to be a blessing in. Yeah? Why was he angry with the Jewish people in the wilderness? Because they were not willing to become the instruments that they were chosen to be. You shall be my people. You shall be to me a chosen people. I will make you the head and not the tail. And they weren't interested in listening to any of that. They wanted to be what they wanted to be. Why was Jesus so angry with the Pharisees? Not because they didn't pray, not because they didn't read the scriptures. He was angry with them because they had no intention of realizing God's purposes. When God judges the church one day, or even as he's doing it now, what is he going to judge the church for? Not because they don't have the right doctrines, or not because they do not have the right translation of the Bible, but because they are not listening to what he wants to do with them. And when he corrects, it's going to be a very painful process. Because he purchased that church with his own blood. And he's not going to allow that church to do what it wants to do. And he will break every form of rebellion that stands against him. And nobody is going to be able to stop it. So that's why the Bible says that judgment begins with the house of the Lord. So when God exposes sin in high places in the church, He is telling us something. That you can't bluff me, and neither can you pretend that you are something in and of yourself. Because this is the instrument I have chosen to do my work in. And if you stand in my way, I'll remove you. If I have to disgrace you to do that, I will do that too. So, the Lord our Maker, Yahweh Hoshenu, is in a serious business. He's making a people who will stand in authority and power. And I'm afraid His training processes for each one of our lives are going to be tough training processes. He's going to deal with us. He's going to put us through the mill. If you think you're going to float into the cloud, into the heavenly places, I think you need to have your thoughts of God changed. Because He can be a very strict father. Why? Because so much is at stake in you rising to the position God has called you for. So much is at stake. So many millions of lives are at stake in you and me attaining to the position that God has ordained for us in eternity. Can you understand what the consequences are of Lucifer falling? How much of blood has been shed because this angel chose to glorify himself? Because he chose not to allow God to make him, but he chose to make himself. I will make myself like the Most High God, he said. I will make myself higher than all the rest of the angels. He was not willing to allow God to make him. He wanted to make himself. And that is precisely what is one of the fundamental problems with so many of us. We want to make ourselves in the way we want to be. I'm afraid if you want to be in salvation, then God is going to make you into what He wants you to be. That comes with the process of salvation. There's going to be no cheap grace. God gives grace because He has a high purpose to fulfill through that grace. He knows that you and I cannot realize those positions in and of ourselves, in our own merits. But make no mistake of it. That grace is meant to fashion and form you and me in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Nothing less, nothing more. That grace is given so that we will function and be able to love, because that's how God wants us to reign. So all the selfish ambitions and all the self-centered thoughts are all going to go, whether you like it or not. Because this God who is your God is Yahweh Sidkenu. He is righteous. This God who is your God is Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God who is going to make you holy unto Him. And if you want high position in the kingdom of God, there is nothing short of being holy unto God. Well, that is not a comfortable thought for us, because there are so many things we would like for ourselves based on what we desire. The simple fact of the gospel is that God is going to change all that. Now to change all that, He means to work us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, so that that change will be enabled into us. It's not a change by legalism. It is a change as God transforms us, as God fashions us and forms us in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. That God fashions us so that we will have the mind of Christ. That God fashions us so that we will have a heart that is built out of the substance of the Master's fullness. We have a clean heart. Do you see the need for that? It's so important. Do you see the need for that? Because that need is so crucial for our lives. The need to understand that. Because so often we stand against the purposes of God. So often we spend time praying for things that will not fulfill God's purposes. And God wants to do something with each one of us. Amazing. God is our Maker. And in being our Maker, Jesus is mediating a covenant into your heart and my heart, isn't it? So the big book of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. So the Bible also tells us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Why is he author and finishing our faith? Because he wants to bring into us a perfect faith. A faith that is able to see the evidence of God and the evidence of God's will, not the evidence of our own ambitions. Do you realize that if faith is exercised wrongly, you will see the evidence of the wrong things? Lucifer saw himself as God. He took good faith and he transformed it in his own ambitions. And that good faith was transformed into a corrupt faith that saw himself making himself as God. Isn't that what we are taught? How to visualize ourselves in a glorious position. How to visualize ourselves into positions of authority. That's exactly and precisely what Lucifer did. And in that pathway of attaining high position, he also traded with the anointings that God gave him. He traded with the giftings that God gave him. He was into the business of empire building. He was not interested in the kingdom of God. He was not interested in a kingdom that God would run. He was interested in a kingdom that he would run. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that he was filled with violence. Why was he filled with violence? Because now he had an empire to manage. And it didn't quite fit him. He did not have the character and nature of God. And when he saw the conflicts in building this empire, he could not manage the conflicts. And so he was internally filled with violence, the Bible says. Isn't that what you feel sometimes as a manager running your own company? Right? Because of the pressures. Right? So how does God want us to be managers in a company or run a company or run a ministry or run a church or whatever it is? Or run a small ministry or run a family? How does he want us to manage it? He wants us to manage it in and by and through him. So that all the conflicts will be managed by God in his peace. And not by our clever thoughts. It is when we try to manage everything and try to put it in its little position that we sit down and we are stressed up. And we are wondering what our teenage daughter is doing in Australia. Is she in college or is she somewhere else? Right? Why? Because we are managing, right? This is my family and I have to run it, right? And so what is my daughter going to be doing? Well, if you don't have a relationship with God, then you're going to be in a lot of turmoil, isn't it? Right? But if you trust God, then no matter what she does, God will in the end bring her back into line. Yes? Hello? So as we rise into positions, wherever we are, whether we are in ministry or whether we are in the secular world, how does God want us to do things? He wants us to do things in his peace, in the knowledge that he is there, in the knowledge that he is holding everything together, in the knowledge that he is the maker and he is making a work through your life. Hello? So, if God is at work, you can trust him because he knows precisely what he is doing because he is God and he can see all things past, present, and future at the same time. So, if God has called you and told you, go this way, and you say, Lord, that looks like a lot of hard work. Let me try it this way. Go ahead and try it. You will find out in 20 years' time which is the right way. But you will surely find out which is the right way. Yeah? Somewhere along the line, one of the lessons that God is trying to teach us is to understand that his way is always better than our way. But you and I have to be convinced in ourselves that that is true. So go ahead and find out. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Do you realize that in the kingdom of God you cannot stop, you have to continue to grow? That the moment you stop growing, you start dying? So So you need to understand this. In the kingdom of God, you cannot grow to a point where you can manage things. You have to grow to a point where you understand you are totally dependent on God to make everything come together. So we see today denominations in total conflict within each other. Some holding on to doctrines that are true in God, some holding on to doctrines that are entirely against God's laws, and they all happen to be in the same denomination. Somebody is trying to manage the denomination. So what does it create? More conflict. There is no conflict management here, brother. You cannot conflict manage darkness and light. You cannot conflict manage, right? Righteousness and unrighteousness. The two are not the same. They will never be the same. Hello? That's why God has to create new heavens and a new earth. Why not keep on the new, the old earth and the old heaven and just continue with it? After all, God can renew and regenerate. Why does He destroy it and bring forth something brand new? Because ultimately in God's plan, light and darkness will not mix. Yeah? So when we begin to understand the deeper things of God, you must realize that, you know, salvation is not just a process of being theologically saved. It is a process of genuine change. Repentance is based on actual change in your character and your nature. It is not just simply saying, Lord, I am sorry, and then continue with it and come back next week and say, Lord, I am sorry. Yes, God will forgive you 100,000 times or more, even more than that. But in the process of forgiving you, you must always understand that He is changing you. God doesn't simply forgive you for nothing. He forgives you so that you will understand that He is at work within you and He's bringing change into your life. He does not condone sin. He will work with your mistakes. He will work with your flaws. He will work with your wrong thoughts. He will work with your incorrect cultural baggage, whatever it is. You know, He will work with it. But you must be sure of one thing, that He is not going to allow you to remain in it. He's going to work you out of your cultural baggage. He's going to work you out of the past into the future that He has for you. And as the maker, He is in the process of making you far beyond what you think you should be. God's ambition over your life and my life is awesome. That's why in all of the names of God, we find that God's covenant names are personal to all of us. Personal. Hello? Personal. Personal. That in Jesus Christ, all of God's names become personal to you and me. Personal. Absolutely personal. Personal to your heart, personal to your mind, personal to your spirit, your soul, and your body. Personal. Do you realize that? That in all of the names of God, even the Most High God, it's tied to your person. It's amazing that God would want to express Himself as the Most High God towards you and me. Who are we? Yet the Bible says that we are meant to be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God. So God means to shape you and me in accordance with the reality of the Most High God. That sounds very awesome, but you must understand the Most High God thinks on a different plane from you and me. So Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my children. Huh? My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways." Yeah? What's God trying to tell you and me? He's not going to do things the way we do them. We have to learn how to do things the way He wants it. He is God. He will always be who He is, and He will always be all that He is, and nobody's going to change that. God our Father is never going to become Santa Claus. And if we conceptualize God our Father being Santa Claus, then we are going to have a very hard time as God works into us His thinking processes. Because He is never going to be there just dishing out presents so that you can break them and find out, you know, that there is always a new present going to be given to you. It's all right, I love you, so I'll give you another present tomorrow morning. Just go ahead and break this one and I'll give you another one because I love you. That is Santa Claus love. Right? God does not do that. When He gives you something and you break it, then He will teach you the lessons of not appreciating what He gave you. That's why sometimes, so often in our Christian walk, He takes us into a wilderness, right? He takes us into a valley experience. Why? Because we never appreciated what He gave earlier. He's got a few things to deal with. We never quite appreciated what He gave us. So God is our maker. And fundamentally, He is making our heart. Huh? Fundamentally, right? That's at the heart of everything that God is doing. He's making in us a clean heart. And in the process of making that heart, He's also trying to show you that He loves you. Not an emotional kind of love, but a responsible love. A love that will never fail. A love that will overcome evil. A love that will be there at all times. A love that will not go up and down depending on the moods of the day. But a love that is steadfast and true, a love that will, that is creative in its manifestation in our lives. So we have to change. We have to understand that change because God is our maker. Shall we pray? Father, we bless You and thank You that You are Yahweh Hoshenu, Father. And as Yahweh Hoshenu, You are making us. And You're making us on many different fronts, Lord. You're making us in our spirit. You're making us in our souls. You're making us in our bodies, Lord. You're making us in every facet of our being. And Your work in our lives is a painstaking work. It's a unique work. It's a work of a persevering love and a steadfast faith, Lord. It is a work that sees, O God, things that we in ourselves cannot see. And as our Maker, Lord, You are always leading us into things that You see, that we are unable to see, Lord. And so it is so crucial for us to understand that in the reality of You being our Maker, we have to learn how to trust You, Lord. We have to learn how to depend on You. We have to learn how to draw from You because You are taking us into things that we cannot manage in and of ourselves. You are taking us into a position where we will be totally dependent on You, Lord. And although that may not seem to be very comfortable to us, Lord, it is the means by which You mean to invest in us authority, power, and position, Lord. And unless we learn how to live in You and by You and through You, we cannot handle positions of authority, power, and influence, Lord. Because as Lucifer fell, Lord, that was the lesson You were trying to teach the creation, Lord. That all things come from You. All things stand because of You. And all things belong to You. And as the psalmist worshipped You in the reality of being our Maker, we realize, O God, that when we worship You because, Lord, we are dependent on You for all things that pertain to our life. All things that pertain to our state of being. That, Lord, as our Maker, You also sustain us continuously, Lord. Because in and of ourselves, we have no life in ourselves, Lord. It is something we receive and realize from You. And it comes with a character and nature that enables us to always see and understand all things in the context that You are God. And You will always be God. And there is no other God besides You. We give You glory and honor, worship and praise for this reality that You have brought into us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Father, that You are Yahweh Hoshenu. Amen.